This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright.
Let's talk financial fair play this summer.
Always a fun subject.
I mean, it's not dry at all. Ridiculous summer of spending at the top level of football. I think it was £1.4 billion spent in the Premier League alone. Neymar and Ousmane Dembele in Spain also breaking the £100 million mark. Is it time to get rid of FFP? Is it doing its job?
Well, to answer the second part of your question, no, it's not. It's not doing its job. Whether there should be some sort of regulation there is another debate. I think there probably should be some sort of regulation there. At the moment, though, as I say, it's not working. PSG using their ownership in Qatar,
it couldn't be less fair.
to pay Neymar as an ambassador for the 2022 World Cup, so he doesn't have to pay income tax, and so that contract and transfer fee is not subject to FFP. I mean, it's pretty much the shadiest transfer deal that's ever happened, but it's legal by FFP. I mean, it doesn't account for things like that. And with that precedent set, we might see Manchester City do a similar thing with their Abu Dhabi ownership. They could do a similar thing there. So there certainly needs to be some form of tightening up of the regulation. Whether they should be ditched, I'm not so sure. But yeah, they're not working.
Yeah, I think the problem isn't that FFP isn't working. I think it's just simply not being used hard enough. I don't think they're enforcing it at all, to be honest with you. I'm actually an advocate of FFP. I know there's the argument that it stops, you know, investment, and which then makes leagues more interesting, and people cite Chelsea for that. I'm still not sure if I agree with that. But I think there has to be genuine regulation. I think there seems to be a huge worry that if UEFA or FIFA get too strong-handed, the clubs will step away. They can't. UEFA and FIFA own football. It's their ball. They get to pick up and walk away with it if they want. And I think the situation is a lot different from perhaps what it was 10, maybe even 10, 15 years ago, when we had this kind of flutter of you know, billionaires coming in, for example, Abramovich at Chelsea and elsewhere, and then obviously a couple of Americans coming to the Premier League. But I think now with the money from the Gulf is a completely different game changer. And I think what you have to consider as well is that as much as, you know, the richest super clubs hate UEFA, they hate each other just as much. And the likes of Bayern Munich and Real Madrid and Barcelona loathe the money that the Premier League makes from TV money, but they also loathe the money that PSG get from Dubai and, you know, Man City get from the Gulf as well. So it's not as if all these super clubs are all in cahoots, as if they're like some cartel that are, you know, just making their way around UEFA's regulations. They're all doing separate things. And it's about time UEFA stepped in and said, right, this is how things are going to be. You can't do that.
No,
I was just going to say, you know, the point you made about UEFA UEFA own football, they can pick up the ball and the clubs kind of have to fall into line. That's right to a certain extent. However, the Champions League is where, you know, all these clubs want to be. And the Champions League is a competition. And these clubs, as has been discussed when they're talking about a breakaway Super League, these clubs can band together and they can create a European Super League. Now, I know we've talked about that for about a decade and it's never come to fruition. And it's always seemed a bit of a pipe dream. But with the clubs getting pissed off, you know, we do edge a little bit closer to that. However, I'm not sure the clubs are within the right to be pissed off, because FFP at the very start it might not have been intended, but it was a way to maintain the status quo. So clubs like Manchester United are protected by FFP, by the fact that clubs being bought over by, I know the Gulf money kind of got in there before FFP, but let's say, you know, a Chinese owner, we've not really seen a Chinese club kind of rise to the top of the European game. Manchester United are protected because of FFP through that, or they were before the regulations got relaxed. So FFP, I think, was kind of flawed from the very beginning. It needs a whole new rethink, and it's just this summer that's kind of exposed that.
I mean, do you think it's likely the Neymar deal might be the catalyst needed to strengthen FFP and change these regulations so, like, money from the Gulf and places like that will be more tightly regulated? Is it likely to happen, or...?
Yeah, I mean, it's always impossible to tell what UEFA are going to do, because at the best of times they seem to make mistakes and all sorts. They seem to go against, they seem to revel in going against public opinion on most things to do with football and what the fans actually want. But, you know, I think this is where the clubs will come into play. I think, you know, Bayern Munich have been a strong advocate of FFP, and they often are the people speaking out against, you know, Premier League money and, for example, PSG and things like that. And but then you've also got clubs like Juventus and, you know, even like some of the Spanish clubs as well now speaking out about things like that.
La Liga, exactly.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, like, obviously La Liga as a body is absolutely petrified at the thought of PSG just buying the best players from there. It's interesting that these clubs are so, they like to be so imaginative with how they spend their money until someone starts using their money to buy their players. then they very suddenly get back into line. And I think that's, you know, Graeme said, you know, there's a threat of the Super League. I don't think that's ever going to, I think if that's a bluff, I think UEFA should call that. I think they should say to the clubs, right, you know what, if you think you can organise your own league, even though you bicker amongst yourselves every single season, and you hate each other more than, in my opinion, they hate each other more than they hate UEFA, UEFA should say, right, we'll call your bluff. And then I think they should say, this is the rules going forward, because I genuinely don't believe there's the organisation or the incentive for all these clubs to work together, because there's no future scenario, you know, Super League in which Bayern Munich or Man United will ever be happy with PSG just flooding in money from the Gulf. Bayern Munich and Man United can't exist as they have done historically in football with PSG spending this amount of money.
Yeah, but would the appeal not be that it would be a closed circuit? So yes, they might not be very happy about PSG being there, but you're not going to have, you know, I'm struggling to think of another club, but you know, you wouldn't have a Malaga who, you know, a few years ago had a lot of money. You wouldn't have them coming up into that top table and pulling up a seat. It would be closed circuit, so you would never, ever have any more clubs joining that top table. Would that not be the appeal of it?
Yeah, but the problem with that top table is that Man United stopped being champions every year. They stopped being the biggest fish in their pond. They suddenly are, you know, the second or third biggest in terms of transfer spend. They don't have their best players now go to PSG because their PSG are winning that specific Super League every season. So that's why I don't understand. There's no scenario in which I can imagine maybe the top 12 or 15 clubs in Europe all agree that they'll have their own league title, because most of them benefit from having their own domestic league and being successful in that. And this is why I think the PSG situation and Neymar transfer is such a game changer, because that scares the hell out of Real Madrid and Barcelona and Bayern Munich and Manchester United. And I think that's where you'll then see this new incentive for them to then go to UEFA and say, right, we need to change this.
Is this sort of spending like problematic or damaging football, or is it just something we need to get used to? Is this just the way it's going?
Well, I'm always one to kind of put up this argument. It's always one you hear on, it's become a bit of a cliche now, you know, we should be paying nurses the money that footballers get, you know, the troops should be getting $100,000 a week, you know, we have got all the cliches. And I always say it's just market rate. You know, Wayne Rooney gets paid £300,000 a week by Manchester United because Manchester United had worked out somewhere along the line that he was worth £300,000 a week to them as a brand. You know, it's not just about him playing football every week. You know, no one's worth that. But Wayne Rooney as a marketing tool might well be worth £300,000 a week. However, this is completely different money, and we have seen with clubs like Portsmouth and Leeds United, clubs who try and aspire to that, and then the clubs completely disappear. And obviously you could say, well, it's just a football club, but actually football clubs are really important to the communities, and that would have a really detrimental effect. So yes, I think it is a bit of a watershed moment. PSG may well be able to afford £200 million on a player, but obviously that inflates the market behind it. You know, Ousmane Dembele is a high profile example. He's not a £125 million player, but when Neymar is a £200 million player, he becomes that expensive. But further down the line, you have players who become £5 million players, and you have clubs at a lower level paying £5 million who can't afford £5 million, and that's where you might have the real impact of that kind of transfer.
Yeah, I mean, Graeme made a really good point about how it affects like medium small level clubs. That's something we tend to ignore actually in these kind of conversations. But you know, there's also the fact that it also categorically changes what a football club is when, you know, these rich, I don't want to say individuals because they're usually not, they're groups to an extent, buy a football club. It kind of reminds me of what happened to Formula One, where you have these kind of like teams that are being bought over by companies, and then they become the front of that marketing campaign. Yeah, okay. For that. Now, that might be cynical, but, you know, what's the first thing people think of PSG? It's probably their sponsors. Manchester City, their stadium, you know, and these aren't just like sponsors that come and go like Man United or something. These are things that are always going to be there, and eventually they're going to become synonymous with the very name of the club. Red Bull and Leipzig are obviously another example. They haven't really cropped up yet in the continental focus yet, but they will as the seasons. They're a bit more conservative with their money, of course, than PSG and Manchester City. But that's another example where you are now getting these football clubs that, when they get bought over, it's not the same as Man United breaking a transfer record. I'll put it that way, right? Or it's not the same as or even as Chelsea, because Chelsea are funded by a billionaire who, from what we can really see, is just wants to spend his money somewhere.
Must be nice.
Yeah,
well, these are football clubs that have been bought over for the primary reason of marketing and for political, dominance and influence. So I think it's far. I'm going to have to be far more cynical in regards to that and saying it's not just the transfer window, you know, ever inflating.
Yeah, well, I mean, Qatar. There's a theory that Qatar bought Neymar and signed Kylian Mbappe because of the diplomatic crisis that's going on in the Gulf. And there seems to be some credence to that. I mean, obviously, there's a big bit of a catastrophe for Qatar and the reputation of Qatar, that everything that's going on there at the moment. So they've signed Neymar and Mbappe as a bit of a good news story. But just to expand on what Stefan was saying there, I also think it's a big issue, and not so much with PSG, because I don't think Qatar have their finger in another club, so to speak. But with Manchester City and other clubs, you're seeing the City Football Group, I think, own 5 clubs around the world now. You have Red Bull that own 3 or 4, I think. That's a worry for me. I mean, I'm not entirely sure how, for instance, the City Football Group can own Girona in Spain, who are now in the top flight, who are now in La Liga, and Manchester City, knowing that the two of them can feasibly meet in European competition. I'm not entirely sure how that works. And I think going forward, that's going to be more of an issue. I mean, Girona aren't going to get relegated this season with the backing of City Football Group. So they could feasibly become a bit of a force in Spain. There's space for another team in Spain to become a bit of a force. So that's a bit of an issue for me. And that's just building on this idea that companies are wanting to have football clubs almost as commodities.
I mean, the Premier League, let's move on to that, because obviously huge spending there. The window's going to close before the start of the season next year. Will that make any sort of a difference to what we've seen this year?
Stefan, what do you think on that?
What do I think about the Premier League? Well, sit down and No, I think actually in the context of where football is now, actually, the money that the Premier League spends on TV money is actually quite old-fashioned and conservative and a bit more safe, I guess you'd put it that way. It's money that the clubs have made from, you know, providing a product that the world wants to watch. And in that regard, it's actually quite innocent compared to, you know, other super clubs, I guess, around Europe. In terms of the new transfer deal, I think it's quite interesting. I think it's a good move, actually. I don't think you'll find a single football coach in the Premier League who likes the transfer window, which is an interesting discussion in itself. Is this something that's ever there to actually aid the football clubs? Is it something there that, you know, the sports directors and the agents and the players themselves love, but the people who are actually trying to build success at these football clubs loathe? I think it's a good move, actually. I think it will stabilise a lot of the absolute nonsense that goes on in Premier League transfer window every summer.
Yeah, I think it's a rare, admirable move by the Premier League to kind of, to put it bluntly.
Even have broken clocks right twice
yeah,
a day.
Well, yeah. I mean, they've really kind of put themselves at a disadvantage because obviously Spain and Germany and all the other leagues will have an extra 3 weeks to poach their players. Now, I mean, I think the thinking is and the idea is that these leagues will eventually join them. So by the time the next summer window comes along, Spain will have the same kind of thing and Germany will have the same sort of thing. But I didn't expect the Premier League to be the one to kind of set the precedent. And if things don't change, they'll be at massive disadvantage. So fair play to them.
I mean, I guess in relation to this, is the Premier League the problem or is it not as black and white as that?
Well, it's not as black and white as that. I think the PSG thing has kind of been a bit of a watershed moment and has kind of changed the game a little bit. But if you're talking about old-fashioned inflation of the transfer market, then yeah, it is a Premier League problem, because obviously if you look at the increase in broadcast revenue, which is where this is coming from, it's the Premier League that is rising. I mean, I don't think the German broadcast rights has risen to the same degree I might be wrong in that.
It has recently overtaken Spain, but it's not rising at the same rate as Premier League.
Yeah, I mean, I know in Spain they sorted out the distribution of the deal, but in terms of the money each club's getting, it's not any different. So it all comes from the Premier League. The Premier League buys players from Spain. Clubs from Spain have more money, and that's the trickle-down effect. So, it is a bit of a Premier League problem. So I guess it is probably right in terms of ending the transfer market early that they should take the lead on that.
Mm-hmm. Would you agree, Stefan? Or?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's kind of two aspects to it. There's the fact that the Premier League buys all the best players. Well, not all the very best, but it buys most players from most leagues. And there's also the point that a lot of European clubs actually benefit a lot from the money the Premier League spends, because even though they're buying these players, a lot of the clubs are usually quite happy to sell them for the prices that the Premier League are buying them for. I mean, I know in Germany, most football clubs usually kind of relish the amount of money they're actually making from England at the moment. So they might not appreciate the fact that their window has to get shut three weeks beforehand. But it might actually build this small little microcosm where you have this 3 week period where even though Germany, Italy, Spain, etc. are all still going, there's just a complete drop off because there's, you know, that money just isn't there once the Premier League shuts.
I guess just finally, do we think Neymar's transfer of 200 million will be beaten? Or is this it? Is this as you say, the watershed moment?
Well, I predicted that Pogba's would stand for quite a while, and it only standing for a year. Actually, Jose Mourinho, quite prescient of him, actually said last summer that we'd look back at that and think that that was nothing. Which I'm not thinking it's nothing, but you know, it has been beat, more than doubled. But I don't. Unless Messi goes, Messi's the one. I think if Messi goes, and that could be a possibility with all that's going on at Barcelona. That's another discussion, of course, one that we've had on this show. But if he goes, I think he will be more than 200 million. Anyone else, this is going to be favourited and brought up next summer, isn't it? When, you know, someone goes for 500 million, but I don't see that being beaten unless it's Messi.
Yeah, I mean, I really fear for the future of football if these select clubs with their money are still outbidding each other and UEFA still hasn't done something about it. So I'd like to think this Neymar deal will be, you know, a real bookmark in the history of football and won't be beaten by any means anytime soon.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.